You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carty, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, good buddy.
Hey.
I feel like $1 million. I got to tell you that straight up. I love it. I love it, Bill. I got to tell you a story real quick before we get on to our guests and everything. I said it last week. I said it, announced it to everybody around the world. This is the last big weekend of the summer, and then we're going to have a rash of calls, emails from around the world where the creature has been sighted. There was some type of encounter. And take it to the bank, folks. One more time, I was right on target. Better than that, here I'm getting emails from people in the southeast. I'm getting emails from the people in the North Highland. And they're telling me, Tom, you hit the nail. You hit the target dead center, the nail on the head. These creatures are so screwed up right now. During the day, we're getting temperatures of 95, 98 degrees, and at nighttime, it's going down to 38 degrees. They don't know what to do. They're so confused. And I hit it one more time, folks. It's exactly what's gone down. And not just that, since Monday, just 2 days ago, a bevy of calls. We've gotten a bevy of emails. We've tried to pick out just the best for you folks to hear. And I got to tell you, you got them here tonight on Bigfoot Live Radio Show. And I'm going to tell you something else. Next week, a giant announcement. It's our 5-year, listen to that, folks, 5 years. They didn't think we'd be around 1 month. I guess now we're about the longest Bigfoot radio show that streams around the world, and we're going to celebrate our 5th year anniversary next week. What do you think about that, Bill?
I think it's absolutely phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a 2-hour show.
We are. Wow. Spread the word, all you people out there. Everybody that's in within the listening of us talking here tonight, tell everybody we're going to have a 2-hour show next Wednesday night.
Yeah, and I'll have the announcement posted on both the websites tomorrow.
Okay.
And as well, I'll send out an email flyer to everybody.
Man, that'll be wonderful, because I'll tell you what, we're going to have so many people, so many friends, so many guests in the past 5 years on that show. It's going to be that huge, we have to have a 2-hour show, I guess, huh?
That's correct.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, I'm going to tell you something. And I love this coming from the chat room. It's from our gentle giant, Stephen Cothran. Hey, Tom, I'll see you next week. Happy early anniversary. We all support you and back you up 1,000,000%. Oh, man. He's a hell of a guy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And Adair saying happy early anniversary. Thank you, Adair. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, besides our anniversary show, I'm going to be making a hell of an announcement. So let me tell you, jot it down on your calendars. Next week is going to be one great show. You know, I'm going to tell you guys something out there. They all thought we were going to be around maybe 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maximum a month. We've got the last laugh, folks. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the only real Bigfoot show that's out there. Because you know what? We get the real people telling the real stories from the people's mouth themselves. You don't find that elsewhere. Everybody else goes out and regurgitates all the stuff that's happened 40, 50 years ago or 10 years ago, and we get the stuff that's current events. And that's the reason why we keep on going, because we all need to find out the truth about this creature, folks. You know what? I'm going to get our first guest. I'm enthralled. I'm so jazzed you have no idea. They sent me these pictures. These guys are some of the America's finest, okay? Super guys, okay? I'm just going to put it to you that way. I'm just going to tell you that they were canoeing. Had something throw stones, rocks at them down the river. They went into a cave. They says, who in the heck would be in the caves like this? And they found these. Go to the website. Take a look at them right now. Footprint 1, footprint 2, footprint 3. Go look. The story behind the story is going to be told by these three guys. And I'm going to tell you straight up, this print looks pretty damn good to me. Look how big this thing is. Look at the dermal ridges. Look at the mid-torsal break in this thing. Look at the impression that the heel made. Look at the splay of the toes, folks. You need to take a look at this. I think we got a legit deal here. And I'm going to tell you something. We're going to go out there right now and talk to these guys.
And, Tom, just before we do that, I've got him on now. I just wanted to let you know, just so you know, Paul is dialed in. Chad and Steve are sharing a phone.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Let's get Steve on the phone first.
Cool. You're on there, Steve.
Good evening, Tom.
Hey, good buddy. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. That's how good I feel. But you know what? I want to tell you something. And everybody's asking right now. Yeah, the pictures are posted. Go to BigfootLiveRadioShow.com. You'll see a link there. It'll say Footprint 1, Footprint 2, and Footprint 3. And you'll see them
www.bigfootlive.com. www.bigfootlive.com. Look at the show outline for tonight. Under the first article, number two, first guest, there are three links. That's the three footprints.
Okay. You got to see them, folks. You'll see a guy with an elbow to hand down next to the print. You'll see another guy's footprint in the print. And then you'll see the print by itself. They are incredible. It's one print, but we're going to get to that whole story. All right, Steve, why don't you give us a little background on you and your friends before we get to telling the story?
Absolutely, Tom. Well, myself, Chad, and Paul, we are big-time outdoor enthusiasts. We like to be out hiking, camping, rock climbing, and kayaking, all those sorts of things. And that's how we managed to find ourselves coming across this print this past weekend.
Okay. So when you guys, tell us when you got on the river, did you get in a kayak, did you get into a canoe, a boat, what did you get into?
We were all in our own separate kayak.
Okay. What time of the day did this all take place, Steve?
Well, the trip itself took the course over 3 days. We found the print on our third and final day in the morning about 9:30 in the morning.
Wow. Okay. So was it kind of uneventful the first 2 days?
Well, no, Tom. Actually, on our first day there, me and Chad had been downriver from our other buddy Paul, and he came canoeing up to us at a high rate of speed, and you could see in his face that he was had a look of surprise in his eyes. He explained that he had some large rocks, you know, approximately 10 pounds in size that had splashed around him, and I could tell that he was genuine and a bit freaked out about that whole event.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Boy, you're blowing my mind. Okay, so this was Paul?
Correct.
Okay, now, did the rocks come from each side of the canyon on a higher level or from the shore?
From what I understand, it was all on one side.
Wow. So was it at a high elevation in the mountain or on the canyons, or was it shore level?
It was probably it was a bit higher than shore level. It was a pretty good wood line, a lot of heavy cover, so it was hard to actually see into the woods very far.
What's the weather like there now this time of year?
It was gorgeous. Bluebird skies, you know, in the 90s the whole time. It was a beautiful trip.
Wow. Okay. All right. All right, so now let's go to the next step. Tell us what happened.
Well,
hello.
Yes.
Tell us.
We continued on down the river. We talked about the rock throwing incident a few times. Nothing else had happened through the rest of that day or the following day, so we kind of just let it go. Our last morning, we had approximately about 6 miles or so to go, finish our trip up, and there was one more major thing that we wanted to check out. It was a cave that myself and Paul had previously been in about 3 years ago, and we knew where it was, so we kept a sharp eye out for it because it's very, very easy to miss if you're not looking for it. We managed to find the cave, and we went in and just looked around in the entrance for about 5 minutes or so. And we decided to start heading back into the cave and just doing a little bit of exploration. Got about 15 feet inside, and I happened to look down at the ground and shine my flashlight right into the footprint. And it stopped me dead in my tracks, Tom. I was actually frightened by it.
Wow, and rightfully so. Tell us the dimensions of the cave, if you would, or do you remember at all, Steve?
Oh, absolutely, Tom. I would say the entrance itself was probably about 20 feet wide and approximately anywhere from 15 to 20 feet tall. The opening was quite large, and then it started to tighten up as you went back into it.
Did you see any signs of life in the cave? That something had been in there that eaten or slept?
I hadn't noticed anything out of the ordinary until we had gotten to the footprint.
And now, when you saw that print and the size of that print, what went through your head?
Well, the first thing I thought about was I kind of looked back on what Paul had told me earlier in the trip about having rocks thrown at him, and seeing that large footprint that was probably at least 18 inches long and 6 inches wide, I figured that maybe Bigfoot is an actual creature, and we may have stumbled upon him.
You bet. You bet, my friend. Let me stay on the line. Is Paul there? Can we get Paul on, Marco?
Tom, Paul dropped off for some reason. I don't know why. Chad is there with, I believe, with Steve.
Okay. Chad, can we talk to you real quick?
Yeah, sure. I'm right here.
When you saw that print, Chad, what went through your head?
Well, I got to tell you that it's kind of ironic because when we started this kayak adventure, we had actually been talking about the Bigfoot monster the whole way. And we were just kind of joking about it. And then actually, when Paul had his incident, I'm kind of a skepticist, and I was kind of giving him a rash of, shit. And, I was kind of giving him a hard time about it. I got to be honest with you. When I got in that cave and Steve stopped dead in his tracks, and he wouldn't tell us what it was, I was about 5 feet behind him, and, we're looking for critters and things like that, and he called a halt, and finally when he got enough, he told us to come up and check it out. It freaked me out.
Now let me ask you this, Chad, is there any wildlife indigenous to that area? And if there is, what do they have?
Well, not anything significant. I mean, up to that point, we hadn't really seen too much of anything, other than, snakes and things like that. But we didn't see any, anything in the tree line or the timber or anything like that. We hadn't seen anything, but, up until that cave, there are people going down, so anything around the river area, probably pushed up into the tree line, up into the, where the caves actually are.
Okay, so my question to you is this, Chad. Is there bear or cougar, mountain lion, indigenous to that area that you know of?
You know, we asked that to our bus driver on the way out, because we were curious about that, too. And he said nothing of any significance. Huh. But, I mean, it is prime habitat. Obviously, we weren't really thinking we were really going to come across the print like this. So, anything's possible.
Without a doubt. Now, let me ask you something else. Were any of you guys armed for any type of self-defense?
No, sir. Actually, it's against the law to discharge a firearm on the park premises, and we knew about that, so we didn't bring any weapons of any sort. We weren't armed. We had some, pocket knives and things of that such, but, nothing that I think would take care of something that produced a footprint such as that.
You bet, you bet. So my next question to you, Chad, is this. After you guys put your foot in it, your elbow to arm in it, took photos, did you retreat right then, or what'd you do?
Well, it's a shame that O'Pauly isn't on the line right now, but he actually exited the cave and found a stick, and he actually passed me and Steve up and spearheaded the operation, and we proceeded into the cave to try to find more evidence, or perhaps probably what we didn't want to see face-to-face of that thing.
I like that guy. Where is he?
Yeah.
Bob? Marco?
He's a wild man.
Marco, is he? Did you get a hold of him?
No, I don't have his number. He just dialed in, and he dropped off a little bit ago. Maybe they could, if they have another phone, maybe they could call him and have him call up again.
Okay. All right, well, until that happens, when you guys got out of the cave, Steve and Chad, what did you do?
Well, Tom, what we got back down to our kayaks and kind of tried to leave the area a little bit quicker than we normally would. You know, like I said, we were all a little bit tense from the situation. So we proceeded downriver for about maybe a quarter to a half a mile, and we pulled off to a gravel bar where we kind of talked about things and were able to loosen up some and just try to figure out exactly what had just happened.
Reconnoiter. That's it. So let me ask you this. At any time, did you ever feel that you had eyes upon you?
You know, Tom, not at that particular time. I didn't. Like I said, I guess I can speak for the three of us. Our heads were pretty just wrapped around just the print itself and trying to think, you know, could this be something that that somebody previously had done by hand, trying to, you know, freak other passerbyers. But as we pretty much determined, you know, like I said, I had been at the cave 3 years prior, and my first time, I pretty much passed it up. I had to go back up river to get to it. So we realized that it was not an easy cave to find, and we actually asked other people on the river who had passed us on the gravel bar if they'd seen the cave, and nobody else even noticed it. So we felt that it was unlikely that somebody just went up there for fun just to try to mess with, you know, other people on the river.
Tom, I can speak from you know, firsthand. This was my first time down the Kern River, and we had saw, you know, numerous caves. We'd probably been in about five or so. And as we were going, you know, actually, you know, coming up to this cave, you know, Paul and Steve had actually seen it. And it, from the naked eye, I really couldn't tell that there was a cave up there. So, I mean, I don't know how anybody could really actually see it. I mean, usually you're paying attention, you know, navigating down the river, actually. So,
Is this Chad speaking right now?
Yes, that's correct.
Chad, let me ask you something. At any point in time, did you ever feel like you had eyes upon you?
Probably at the point when I saw the track, I had, you know, it all kinds of emotions are running through your head at that particular time. You know, it was a very weird moment because we all had hair on our legs standing up when we saw that print. So it's kind of hard to go back and actually describe the emotions that were going through my head at that time.
You know, that's what I was hoping that you'd describe.
Paul just beat him.
Either the hair on your leg or the hair on your neck stood up. Paul, are you with us now?
Yeah, I just got here. I had to get a clear signal. My phone was dying, so I just had to get me a clear signal so I could get a little bit of juice on you guys.
Well, number one, thank you for being with us, taking the time from your night this evening. And number two, let me bring you up to date.
Okay.
We've been through the point where you guys entered the cave and Steve saw the print. And
right.
You heard when he was telling about you caught up to them with the kayaks when you had these boulders or large rocks thrown at you. I want to concentrate on that first, if I can, Paul.
Yeah, we kind of just laughed that off until we seen the footprint, because I was just joking about that for a couple days, because it was bad enough to where I paddled across and just tried to, you know, throw a couple rocks across, thinking there's some kids messing with me or something, but I couldn't even, like, get the the pebbles in my hand, you know, just little stones in my hand across the river. And there's no beavers in this area. There's otters, but there's no beavers. And I know what a trout, I live on a lake my entire life. I know what a trout sounds like jumping out of the river. There's no cormorants, so there's no cormorants diving in the water. So it just kind of freaked me out that the first one just alerted me. I'm like, huh, that was a very big splash. And, you know, there's nothing around me that could do that. And after the second one, it was enough to make me pull across to the side and, you know, throw a couple rocks over there. But I was like, huh, I can't even throw any rocks across. And then I caught up to Steve and I'm like, dude, it was just funny because something didn't add up. And then we just kind of joked about it for the rest of the trip. And the funny thing was, it was like on the last day before we went in the cave, we were just joking about it. I'm like, man, you see, this is the Bigfoot, man. He's out here. Because we joke about it, you know, we like to joke about that stuff, but we're not really believing in that stuff until something like the footprint happens, you know. I mean, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, somebody threw stones at you, you know. And it was enough to freak me out, but they were laughing about it the entire time. Steve and Chad were joking, oh, yeah, sure, da-da-da. And then after we seen the footprint, I mean, it made all of our hair just crawl up on end, where it was like, it freaked us all enough out. And Steve and Chad are some pretty big guys, and it was both enough just to freak us out and enough to make us just laugh hysterically, because this cave is kind of, it's not an easy cave to find. Unless you know what you're looking for, you will not find this cave, because it's in fast-moving water. You gotta get out in fast-moving current and tread up a path that there is no trail going to, so you're climbing up loose rock and poison ivy and putting your hands in God knows what. So it was just, yeah, it's kind of a venture just to even get to that cave, and just by miracle, Steve happened to look down. So, yeah, it was just funny enough, and we weren't going to send nothing in, but we know you guys like this stuff, and yeah, it's kind of good to know that you guys, you know, it blew us away, so that's awesome.
Well, I got to tell you a story. When I first saw that picture that you guys sent me, now, I sent out a couple of movies to Steve. Steve, did you get them?
I did.
Did you get a chance to look at Texas with the prints?
I haven't got through it yet, Tom, but I'm working on it.
Okay. I want you to take a look. It's the first part of Bigfoot Lives, the black one. And when you look at there at the prints, you're going to see the similarities of the prints that you guys got versus the ones that are in my first movie.
Okay.
It blew me away. I got to tell you that straight up. I looked at that. I said, oh, my God, they've got an alpha male. Okay? Either that or you've got one experienced hoaxer up there that knows how to put out a print.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what we were saying. It's like somebody's like a perfect sculptor who's either carved like Michelangelo's on the weekend and does this as a hobby just to hopefully fool somebody. But we've never heard of anything, you know. Before we asked the bus driver, he didn't really want to talk to us about that kind of thing. So we don't know what to believe, you know. Who knows? We didn't really want to believe until now. Now it just makes us question the whole thing.
Yeah, now here's the other thing. Have you noticed, or did you just go online or anything to see if there were other sightings or encounters in the same area?
Yes, Tom, we did.
And what did you find?
There have been a few reports.
There have been a few reports. Well, let me tell you something else. I've gotten more than a few reports from that area. As a matter of fact, I have a guy that I talked to today that's right on the other side of Missouri and Arkansas, and he was telling me all about the three rivers that connect. You know, there's the Black River, the Current River, and there's one other.
Correct. Yep.
So, it just blew me away. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, they're starting to migrate right now. So we've got something here, all right? And as you know, I talked to Steve-O, and we're going to be talking off the air, of course. And I hope he passed on the word of what we talked about today.
I did, Tom.
Okay, good, Steve. Good, good. And I hope that.
Hey, Tom, we have a lot more time. Our second guest didn't make it.
Okay, all right, yeah. So I hope to God that, you know, we can get a clearance there and make this whole thing happen, because I've got a couple of other stories that I found out today that are real close proximity there, and we really want to make something of this, because I think what you got may be the real deal. And you know what? After this weekend, we'll find out for sure. Listen, I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart. We got a whole lot more show. Stay with us. Mute yourself out. I'll be in contact, as you know, Steve, tomorrow. And thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you, Tom.
You got that, Tom.
Cool. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you so much, you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Steve, Chad, and Paul. They experienced something out there this past weekend. Proof is in the pudding. You saw a print. It's right there. Go to BigfootLive.com. You'll see it there live yourself. They got a footprint in one. They got an elbow to hand in the other. Just a plain old footprint. Look at the depression from the heel. Look at the mid-torsal break, and look at the splay of the toes, ladies and gentlemen. Fill you in about that real soon. By the way,
Tom, you know what I did to those pictures just to lighten them up a little bit and enhance them a little bit so you could see it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, once you lighten that thing up, that is unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable.
Really?
It's just, yeah. I mean, what you're seeing now is what I did. I lightened it up a little bit because they were real dark, and you couldn't see much because it was, you know, not very well lit. But after I lightened it up and then I shaded it out, took the color out, and once you took the color out, it was just, I mean, just as dynamic as ever.
Well, you know, Bill, I don't know if you know this or any of my listeners out there know it, but one good thing about getting prints in the cave, you don't have to worry about the elements. You know, you don't have to worry about the wind. You don't have to worry about the rain. You don't have to worry about the snow, because they'll stay in there until somebody screws with them.
And not only that, there might be hair and some other things in those little prints that we don't know about yet.
I know, and that's why I'm praying to God that everything is so cool here. It's just freaking me out. But you know what? Without any further ado, first of all, I want to talk about Johnny Paulson. Johnny Paulson, we do have copies of Bossberg, Washington, Triple Foot of the Creature, of the prints, plaster prints. They're going to be in our museum, okay? And those are one of the originals that Dr. Grover Krantz did his study on, Johnny. And thank you for bringing that out. You're a superstar, my man. Appreciate that. And I want to say hello to Carol Lee. I want to say hello to Jim Dawson, East Coast Jack, Chris Lone Star, Flycatcher, Dr. Crick, Bill Green, Adair, the Gentle Giant, my brother, Johnny Paulson, like I said. Lone Wolf, Lee Joyner, my brother, Mount Monadare, and all the folks out there in that room. But you know what? Let's go. Let's pay some bills, Bill.
Okay, let's do that.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that laid out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
It's back to you, Tom.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there it is one more time. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. I'll tell you right now, because it's just blowing people away. When they find out the truth and they see it and they hear it and they say to themselves, you know what? We knew it all the time. The world owes you an apology, Tom Picardi. I've been hearing that now for 3 years. It's totally incredible. But you know what? You know, you've asked for this guy back, and we couldn't have him last week because the show just ran on and ran on, as you know. Next guest is so interesting. Since I've met him on the phone, phoned me away with stuff that just, it's incredible, okay? Without any further ado, we're going to get East Coast Jack out here. He's got the floor. He's got the remaining half hour here, or 25 minutes or so. Jack, you out there?
I'm out here, Tom. Nice to be on. Marco Bill, how you doing?
Doing fine.
Well, thanks for finally got you back there, Jack. You know, you've seen what has been going on. It's been a crazy house out here. And I got to tell you guys, I'm going to be on a Calgary show early in the morning. I'll get the details for you. I got about 5 to 7 minutes on a big show, a big time show. I'll get it for you guys. They're all talking about the stuff that hit up over the weekend in Calgary. That this guy took some film of it. I don't know if you guys heard about it or not. But it's pretty incredible. I got to tell you that straight up. Like I told everybody, things are going on. The weather's been goofy. These creatures don't know whether to go east, west, north, south, or just stay put. But I'll tell you what, I was right. And that's all that matters right now. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, we got them back on your request. We knew it was tough, but they loved you, David. You've got the next 20 minutes, man. Tell us what's been going on, son.
Hey, Tom. When I missed last week's show, I was interested by Roger's story. It reminded me of a story that happened to me one night when I was out in the field. He mentioned something about the full moon out in the background and getting blotted out in the sky by more than likely one of the creatures. Well, I think the same thing happened to me one night. I'll just go through this quickly and get to some more important stuff. But I was sitting on a chair in one of my favorite hot spots and had my back to the moon, but it had risen up over the trees. It was fairly high up in the sky. It would have taken a large creature bigger than a person to blot it out. And I noticed the sky got dark all of a sudden. I turned around and looked and didn't see a thing. Didn't hear a thing, but the moon was back in its place, and there weren't any clouds in the sky to speak of, so I know something ran by me, and it wasn't a deer. So anyway, that Roger story, one of Roger's stories kind of reminded me of the same thing that happened to me one night way back when.
Go ahead.
You were talking, Tom, about some of the strange weather happening all over the country. Well, you know, we've had our share on the East Coast as well. As many of you know, Hurricane Irene just skirted up the East Coast along Florida, the Carolinas, Virginia, and then the mid-Atlantic states, and it eventually threw all the way up into New England, Canada. And it dumped a lot of rain on us where I live with high winds. There were power outages all around us, but we were spared. But a day previous to the hurricane hitting, we had a cold front storm come through our area, and that was a wicked severe thunderstorm, and it knocked our power out for 4 hours. And we were all hoping that, you know, they'd get the power restored before the hurricane hit, because we figured, hey, we're going to be out of power indefinitely, but they managed to get it going again. And I said all that to lead up to what I'm going to hope to talk about tonight. And that is the fact that I normally, on a regular basis, walk back on the back trail that we have in the woods in our backyard that goes forever. We call it the deer path because the deer come up there all the time. And I'm constantly, you know, raking it and getting wood off the path and keeping it clear. But I go back there looking for recent Bigfoot evidence, and I go back there on a regular basis. I try to go back there daily when I'm here. But I was out of town for a week, and when I got back, I walked back on the trail, and I was astonished by what I saw. These creatures were actually back there knocking trees down more than they normally do. And I found it kind of ironic that it happened the week that I was on vacation. And there's another guy in our subdivision that goes back there on a regular basis, not Bigfoot hunting, but he takes his boys and their friends back there on motor scooters, and they ride around in the on the trails. Well, he had happened to be out of town for a month. I was out of town for a week. And when we got back, I went back there, and like I said, the forest was devastated. And a lot of you probably know from me being on the radio in past weeks that I claim that Bigfoot creatures visit my backyard at least two or three times a week, if not more, during the summer months. And then last fall, they were visiting my backyard woods on a nightly basis. That's my claim. And I'm here to tell you that neither one of those storms that I mentioned knocked any trees down in the backyard woods. There weren't any branches that came off of them. There were some small twigs and leaves, but no trees. There were a few branches here and there. Nothing substantial. But before those storms had hit, when I came back from my week vacation, I went back there, and there were no storms that hit during that week. I found all kinds of things down. I found two large pine trees that were snapped in half about 10, 12 feet off the ground. Both the trees were in excess of 1 foot in diameter and about, 40, 50 feet tall. And both trees were broken down across the trail rather than away from the trail. And there was another large pine tree that I think it was the biggest of the three, if I remember right. And it was completely uprooted and lying down on its side with its root ball exposed, a huge root ball. And a couple of smaller pine trees were bent over in arch formations. And, you know, pine trees don't normally form arches, even in windstorms. And there were no windstorms during that week. Now, as I mentioned, the storms didn't take any of the trees down in the backwoods prior to the storms while I was out there out of town, there weren't any storms. These large trees were snapped in half by something, like oversized broken toothpicks. And others were bent in unusual ways, and that one was pulled out of the ground. I believe the creatures purposely climb up on these trees and hang from them until they pull them out of the ground or snap them in half. Pine trees are rigid. You know, they don't naturally bend into an arch. And as I mentioned, the hurricane didn't do anything with them. There were other logs that were stacked up against the fallen trees. And this kind of stuff happens to me all the time back there, but this was the largest event that I've ever seen. The creatures love trails, folks, and if you live in an area where there's a lot of trails that people walk on or ride motorcycles on, ATVs, you know, logging outfits that make trails and stuff, there's a good chance, and you have to have some other elements involved too. You know, you got to have some water sources and this and that and that. But if you have trails, there's a good chance that and especially if you're forever having to go back there on those trails with a chainsaw and cut up fallen trees, and the trees always seem to fall into the trail rather than away from the trail, the chances are you're in Bigfoot country and the creatures are trying to tell you to stay out. They know that if they can pull down some trees on the trails, that they will keep the vehicles out, and it will help to keep the foot traffic out as well. Those of you that live around trails where the creatures have allegedly, you know, been spotted, please keep note of this, what I'm telling you tonight, and look for changes in the forest. When the trees fall down on your path, try to determine if they fell due to natural storms or unnatural reasons. If there weren't any storms in the area, then what took them down? Well, I managed to capture the creatures one night. This was quite a while back. I managed to capture the creatures pulling down a large tree on an audio clip. And there was a perfectly still night, and you heard the tree snap, and you heard the thing coming down, and it made a loud noise. And then later, shortly after that, I actually heard the vocals of the creatures, and I can't categorically prove they did it, but it seemed to me that I actually captured it that one night.
You know, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
One of our listeners out there has said, you know, how come you never tranquilize one of these creatures since they're in your backyard?
Well, you know, as you know, Tom, and I think we're probably pretty much in agreement on this, that the only way that we as Bigfoot hunters and researchers are going to categorically prove, not in the hearts and minds of men, you know, like these three gentlemen that went into the cave and were skeptics and came out as believers. We can convince some of those folks that haven't had firsthand encounters to believe in the creatures if they hear enough of our stories, and we can somehow substantiate these stories with circumstantial evidence. I think we can convince people. But the only way we're going to categorically prove to the vast majority of the general public and the scientific world for sure is to actually capture one of these creatures or kill one. And that's what it comes down to. You know, I'm not saying that I'm an advocate one way or another of capturing one or killing one, but I'm telling you, and I think you're in agreement, Tom, that that's the only way this thing's going to reach its final conclusion. You know, that's the only way we're going to prove. Now,
then stop and think about this for a moment. The day that somebody finds one, kills one, or captures one, as you said, then there's no more fun. Now there's no more Bigfoot hunters. Now there's no more Bigfoot researchers. Think about that. We're going to go to our break real quick. On the other side of the break, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you the story. The questions come up and said, well, was Ivan Marks a smoker, and did he die from cancer of smoking? Ivan Marks, I'll let you know the story right after the commercial. Bill, it's on you.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing. We had found that 12 fraction of that. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot. There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. I'm going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the big marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot.
Right now.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Back to you, Tom.
Okay, first of all, I want to tell everybody out there, in the 30-some-odd years before Ivan died, that I was with him, Ivan Marks I'm talking about, I never seen a cigarette at his lips. He never smoked. He did chew, though. He chewed a thing called Levi, chewed tobacco, right? But he never, ever, ever smoked any cigarettes, okay? He never drank. Never drank any wine, never drank any booze. So I'm going to tell you that straight up. Second of all, this question goes out to you, East Coast Jack. The people say, well, since these creatures have been out there frequent in your backyard or and all this time you've been seeing them, have you taken any pictures or have you got any sounds or can you mimic any of the sounds that you heard?
I've actually been within range of them on many occasions where they were speaking in their language, and I can mimic the language. You know, if I do it loud outside, it sounds a lot better than quietly on the phone, you know, with my human tones. But I mean, I can give you the gist of how it goes. And
they're waiting to hear for it right now.
All right. And I guess then, can I get, I don't know if we have any time left, if I could get back to some of those stories. I want to tell you about some prints around these trees that were down, if we have time.
You sure can, and as a matter of fact, you're going to have at least 8 minutes more.
Okay, all right. The language that I've heard on numerous occasions back there from the creatures, and in fact, was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when I was leading up to a story where they were actually speaking in this language that I heard for the first time, and I was totally perplexed. I didn't know what was going on. I thought it was teenage girls. It sounded so much like a human language or like English, you know. But then as I got closer to the sound, I realized that, you know, this isn't human. And I heard it actually twice that one night. I heard it at like 9:30 at night, and then I walked through the woods way out in the boonies, came back at 1:30 in the morning in the same locale. I heard it again, you know, so I knew that, these weren't teenage girls out there making this noise. But basically, the way I would describe it, it sounds a lot like the English language, but only with long vowel sounds, like
give
you know,
a
lot of e's and oohs and ahs, you know. And if I were to try to imitate it, I would, on the spot, I'm sure I could do it better if I practiced, but here goes. Something like that.
You know what? I got to tell you something. That's pretty damn close. That's some of the chimp sound, monkey sounds that I've heard in the past.
And
wow, you're good.
Well, I don't know how good I am, but what I was going to tell you is I've actually learned how to interpret a portion of what they say. And somebody would say, well, there's no way. How could anyone interpret a portion of their language? I'll tell you why. I've heard, you know, people have said that one of the sounds that the creatures make, and I've experienced it and recorded it, I have recordings of them, is like a peacock cry. Others have described it as a woman crying or a screaming, a woman screaming or a peacock cry. And there's no way I can imitate that because it starts off fairly low and then it goes into this high, you know, several octaves higher than my voice will go, sound. But if you go onto the internet and look up peacock cry, you'll probably get a sound that sounds pretty much like it. But they do that, from my experience, they do that when they're trying to tell each other, hey, humans are around, let's get out of here. Okay? Now, along with that, I hear this language, like a sentence, that they communicate back and forth on numerous occasions, and it goes hand in hand with the peacock cry. So that tells me that, you know, maybe in a little more detail, they're saying the same thing. Humans are here, you know, let's get out of here, let's go where we discussed we would meet if the humans, you know, show up. And that sound goes somewhat like this. It goes, aru, aru, ura, aru, aru, ura. I'm not doing a good job of imitating it. I've got recordings of it, and if we ever get together, Tom, I'll play them for you, and you can hear firsthand the recordings I have of it. But I really believe that vocalization represents them saying, humans are here, let's get out of town, let's get out of Dodge.
Well, there's one thing I can confirm with you right now. That last sound didn't sound too good, but I can understand why. You're not the creature. But number two, I'll tell you this. The whole idea, okay, the whole idea of what you're doing, and for the people who condemn you and people who say that, oh, you know, this guy he sees Bigfoots around every corner and it's in his backyard. They have no clue. They have no clue that there's a lot of gifted people out there, East Coast Jack, that has a quality that you've got. Not many people have that quality. They don't have the ability. You know, I wish this second guest was going to be with us tonight. I don't know what happened to him. I know he had to go to a party, his daughter's party, I think it was. And he was going to talk. This guy's a beekeeper, but he was into yoga. And one of his interesting theories were, is Bigfoot psychic or could he be psychic? And I got to tell you, I don't want to touch on that right now, because there's things that blow my mind in the Bigfoot world, ladies and gentlemen. And what do I mean by that? Hey, I'll throw something out there for you. How come all of a sudden we'll see a string of tracks, 6, 8, 10 tracks, and then all of a sudden they disappear? And then we go out another 50 yards in the same line where there still could have been tracks, and we pick them up again. Did somebody beam these people up and say, "Beam me up, Scotty"? I know it might sound strange to you for what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you and reporting to you. I'm your humble servant in the Bigfoot field. I'm of the accord that if I can't feel it, touch it, smell it, see it, it don't exist. I was one of the biggest doubting Thomases in the world. My big problem was when I went out there to disprove this thing, I found out that it was there. And I've been doing it for an awful long time. And I'm going to tell you people, those of you who've seen it, those of you who've had an encounter, those of you who've heard it, I praise you. I praise you for coming on my show. And there's not one person that we'd ever make fun of, okay? Because this is the Bigfoot Live radio show.
Can I say something?
Let me finish.
All right.
That's the reason why we've been going on 5 years next week. We don't sling bullshit. We sling the truth. You get personal encounters firsthand from the people who've seen them, who've had something to do in the field. Now, go ahead. You've got the floor. I'm sorry. I just wanted my...
No. Don't apologize. I was just going to applaud you and agree with you that the reason you get these guests to come on to your show and to basically throw their name and reputation out on the table in front of you is because they know that you're not going to mock them for what they claim is happening, that you're going to respect it. You don't have to agree with it, like you said, until you can firsthand see it or experience what they're experiencing firsthand. But you won't mock them. You won't laugh at them. You won't kick them out of the show. Most of these other Bigfoot radio shows, they're more interested in talking about cookouts and when they go out on an expedition, how many hot dogs they can eat or who snores the loudest, things like that. But you're all 100% serious about this, and you have been, and I've always respected you for that. And that's why people like myself and others continue to call in and support you and your show, because you're the only one we know that's doing this.
And you know what? I thank you for that, because there's not many people that understand the truth and understand this business, okay? I know that when I'm dead and gone, there'll be a lot of others out there that's going to continue on the work. I hope to God what we've done throughout this past 5 years with our radio show has enlightened the people, enlightened the public all over this world. Because we, as individuals, we all want to believe. But unless you've had that encounter yourself, unless you've seen this thing, I'm going to tell you, there'll always be that doubt, that ounce of doubt. That's the reason why the guys on my crew have had a physical manifestation sighting. They've seen the prints. They've smelt the creature. They've heard the vocalizations. And it kept their quest going. Until today, we're still doing it. Because we know it's out there. And for those of you people say, "Oh my God, why don't you just, you see it, why don't you run after it?" You have no clue how fast these creatures are. Get my new movie, Bigfoot Lives 2, ladies and gentlemen. Don't walk, run. Go get it. Let your fingers do the walking. Go to Amazon.com. Go to Bigfoot, searchingforbigfoot.com and order it. And you'll see in the beginning of that movie, one of those creatures in Texas. They move too damn fast. You can't use a tranquilizer gun. You can't use one of those nets. Here I am. I'm rambling on. I cut into your time again. We'll have you on next week. You'll be one of our honored guests along with many, many others. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, our anniversary show. 5 years, count them, 1 through 5. They said we couldn't do it. We did it. I love you, Marco Bill. I love you, all my guests. I love everybody out there. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.